Come in. Thank you, Jerry.
And I just want to share that just over a week ago, I was praying, and Marg, I think we need the recording turned down a little bit, please. Thank you. I appreciate that. A week or so ago, I was praying about, and the Lord impressed upon me something about the prayer time. That the Lord impressed on me that we should wait until after the sermon to pray. And the reason for that is very simple, that we need to hear the Word of God, have our faith built up, and then approach the Lord with our thanksgiving, but also with our requests, so that we hear from God first, then we respond by coming to Him. And so that's what I'm seeking to do, is to hear what the Lord has to say, and then let us come to the Lord after we hear the Word, after we're built up with the Word, and respond in fashion and in kind. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that we are built up by your Word, that it is our daily bread. It edifies us. It strengthens us so that as we approach you, we approach you with boldness and with confidence, knowing that your love for us is from generation to generation. And that as we leave this place, we are built up, strengthened to stand against the wiles of the enemy, but also enabled to do your will because we've been fed by your Word. We thank you for your grace. And again, this morning as we listen to you, we pray that your work would be accomplished in our lives. And all God's people say, Amen. It was a good day. However, Ian did have one question yesterday. He said, on the way into church, I notice a word on the sign. He said, not the end of the line. What does that mean? It was related to the sermon title, not related to Ian. Life is confusing sometimes. It's hard to fit everything together all at once. When Jesus spoke about John the Baptist, he said, there is none greater to this point in humanity. There is none greater. Quite the commendation, isn't it? Quite the word from the Lord to say there is none greater. When Jesus gives a commendation like that, a good word like that, our ears want to perk up and say, okay, what is Jesus saying? For John the Baptist came as a herald. As in former days, a king would be approaching, a herald would shout out, perhaps the trumpets would be blown. Attention, the king is coming, the ruler is coming. Show respect. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way that is coming. And Jesus speaks of John and the testimony of John, for example, in John the Baptist in John's Gospel, not to be confused, from chapter 3, verses 22 and 30 to 36, is that at the time, John had been making a great impact as he was preparing, saying, I am not the one. I am not the one you are looking for. People were saying, you're causing quite a fuss. Everybody's going out to you from Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee and all of the surrounding region to hear what John the Baptist has to say. And so the religious leaders sent emissaries. They sent representatives and said, are you the Christ? And he declared very openly, I am not. I am not worthy to untie his shoes. I am just one who is declaring, one is to come. And so when Jesus began to preach, people started going to Jesus. And there was an upset because you start to get used to one thing and then all of a sudden things start to change and the question is going on. So people approach John, as it says in John's Gospel chapter 3. People are leaving you and they're going to the new guy and you've just started. Now what's going on? And John declared,
in great humility, awareness of the Lord's presence. I am not the one. Follow him. He must become greater. I must become less. Wow. That's breathtaking, isn't it? Just simply breathtaking. How John, Jesus' own cousin, responded with such humility and with faith and with passion to speak about Jesus. We read the passage this morning, and as I was meditating on it and thinking about it in preparation, I was thinking, okay, beyond information about John the Baptist, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for myself individually? What does it mean for you individually? And that's how we always need to approach the scripture, is not simply for information, but what does it mean to us? What does it mean for us? And how is God speaking to me through this scripture beyond simply information? Information is good. However, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to touch our lives individually and to transform our lives individually, not for somebody else, but for myself. And as you sit thinking, Lord, what do you have for me? As I began to think about it, I began to realize that this was actually a very troubling sermon to preach. You can go watch a movie about somebody losing their life. And John the Baptist, a man of great humility and faith, lost his head. And you sometimes hear that phrase, the head, bring me a head, you know, bring me the head on a platter, relates from that. And what it tells me is that it's actually a very troubling sermon for me to preach, but it's one that we need to wrestle with. For it means, and it reminds us, that one day none of us shall be walking the earth. And that's the good news. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Jesus is preparing a place for us. He has a ministry for us. He has a calling for us. He has a place for us in his will, in his economy. But none of us are indispensable. On this earth, none of us will live forever. And that's a good thing. And that is a good thing. Who wants to live struggling with sin for all eternity? Who wants to struggle with sickness and ill health forever? Who wants to struggle with bearing the burdens of people, sometimes things imposed upon them and other times as a result of their own choices? Because we love, our hearts are tender. Who wants to struggle with all of those things for many centuries to come? You either have to become so hard as to ignore people or recognize that there is more to life than this life. John the Baptist declared with great humility and faith, he must become greater, I must become less. Yes, he struggled perhaps with doubt in prison when he sent his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the one? He showed very much that he was a human being. But he also showed that faith in God to say, my trust is not in myself. My trust is not in this world, what I can see, the power that I have, but my trust, my faith is in God. It is his kingdom that shall last forever. It is not the kingdom that we ourselves build, our lives that we build, but we trust God with our lives, knowing that we are very finite on this earth, and our time on this world is limited and is not infinite, but we trust in the power, in the love, in the grace of the one whose power is infinite, whose kingdom shall last forever and ever and ever. Yes, we struggle. We want to know good health, don't we? Anybody here enjoy ill health? I'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Nobody here enjoys ill health. Nobody enjoys being in pain or being limited or that sort of thing. And it's a recognition that we are limited. Yes, we go to the doctor. That's a good thing. Highly recommended when you need to go to the doctor. That's a good thing. But our trust is not in ourselves. This church is over 100 years old. This building is over 100 years old. This congregation is 100 years old. Pardon me?
More than that.
It's more than that.
Predates this building.
Does anybody here remember anybody who was here for the first service?
Gary.
Except for Gary. I wouldn't have said that, but Jerry put me up to it.
Don't let them, never mind.
The fact of the matter is, our trust is in God. Yes, we do struggle with times. You know, there's the three eyes of youth. Anybody know the three eyes of youth? Immortality, immunity, and invincibility. When you're young, you think you'll last forever, you'll never get sick, and you can do anything. Anybody ever jump off a roof when you were young? Yeah, great big snowbank, regardless. But to a certain extent, we never lose that, do we? To a certain extent, yes, we may be more aware of our limitations, but to a certain extent, we do want to hang on to things, don't we? We do want to hold on to things. But his kingdom is forever. Our faith and our trust in Jesus is where we find our security. I just think about Jesus, and I'm not trying to preach a downer or anything like that. We're all going to die. Certainly not. But how shall we live is the question. How shall we live? We shall put our faith in Jesus Christ, who when facing a terrible death for the sins of all humanity, said, "Not my will, but thine." Trusted God the Father. "Father, I will put my life in your hands. I will go as a sheep to the slaughter to be put to death, and I will trust you for life." And that is how we live. Our trust is not in ourselves, but our trust is in Jesus. It's release from the world of sin. Paul, speaking in his own testimony from Philippians chapter 1, it said, "It's better for me to go to be with Jesus." Said, "But for your sake, I'll stay with you a little bit longer. But it's better for me," and he was longing to see Jesus. None of us are indispensable. How shall we put it? Life is like going to work. If you have a job, that you are a permanent employee. We take it for granted, don't we? We get up. We go to work. But we just take it for granted. That's what we're going to do. But if everybody here worked for a temp agency, our son Ben, our youngest son, works for a temp agency. And they might, as he approaches them, they may say, "You go to work for one day." And he goes to work for one day. They may say, we have no work for you. Stay home and rest. Where he's working now, at Jim Thane, they say, go to work until we tell you otherwise. Mom and Dad say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the day may come where they'll say, stay home. When we have a permanent job, we stand upon routine, we stand upon our rights as permanent employees. But faith at times is like working for a temp agency, where God the Father may say, I have something for you to do for a while. Or he may say, it's time to rest. Stay home and rest. Or he may say, go and do this until you hear otherwise. Or he may say, it's time to come home. We want to be in control of our lives. But what we really need to do is to trust and to believe God. We all face challenges. But our faith in God is what sees us through. Because our power, our vision, our strength is limited. But it's we trust the love of God for us as demonstrated in Jesus Christ. That's where our strength comes from. Where we find healing, grace, and strength. As we approach God, we can say, we trust you and we love you. Let's pray. Our gracious